拜了。Listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. You just heard there Derek's accent, and before that, Bobby Laurie from the Ugly Things comp of 60s Garage from Australia. And today on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show, who do we have in the studio today? Who are you?
Jab.
Jab, please move close to the mic if you could.
Okay.
Could you say, hello, hello, are you there, Jab?
Hello, hello, are you there, Jab?
Jab, who are you? Please elaborate. Who are you, Jab?
I used to be on a show on CITR, but I wasn't sitting in the seat that I am right now. I was sitting to my left in the other studio, which is now the record library on CITR, and that was 12 years ago.
And now you're back in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, Jab.
How exciting.
With your musical adventures you're going to chronicle for us today, right?
Oh, a little.
Now, what exactly are we going to get into, Jab? Please elaborate. Your musical life, you know, including CITR, Montreal. We're going to go to Toronto as well, maybe.
Well, I'm here because of the Roots on the Rails Fred Eaglesmith train most recently. I got off. I got on the train a week ago Tuesday and got off at the Central Station here in downtown Vancouver. Most gorgeous weekend since, I don't know, last year. And that
and
was
like a giant hippie fest all across the country, isn't it? A very expensive hippie fest, but very exciting, though.
And very worth it, because there are lots of people who I didn't actually...
You rode the rails right across Canada.
I did, indeed. And it was a unique experience.
Right in here, to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Right into the station,
and
right down.
Right into some sad news as well. Like, we just found out, I guess Vancouver found out that, unfortunately, Ray Kondo has died last night. Ray Kondo from Ray Kondo and his Hard Rock Goners, Ray Kondo and the Ricochets from the Secret V's, his Vancouver band that he played bass in, I think, in the late 1970s. Passed away, died yesterday, and you found that out when you rolled into town. That's kind of sad news, isn't it?
It's incredibly sad news, not because I knew him personally necessarily, but because of that whole sort of scene was the first time. This is going back probably to 1984. And I've certainly seen him several times live. He's not a personal friend of mine, but all the bands that were involved in that whole group, that family tree.
And you're talking about the Aug Records family tree out of Montreal.
Absolutely.
I mean, because that was really important. I think a lot of people kind of forget about that, don't they? I mean, they think about the Roots scene in Vancouver here, which is going great, or they maybe think about the 70s punk scene, but Ray was a big part of that thing happening in Montreal, Aug Records.
Absolutely.
Ray Kondo and the Hard Rock Goners. And you were there at that time, witnessing all that stuff going on.
Well, and I also grew up in Ottawa, which is it's a lot of good things, but it's a lot of boring when you're about 15.
And the Aug scene helped perk it way up, didn't it?
No joke.
With all the deja voodoo barbecues and stuff. And I wanted to mention, actually, Ray Kondo was going to be playing tonight, but the gig is still going on, and it's going to be happening at the Wise Hall, and that's at 1882 Adenek with Sarah Wheeler, the Bughouse Five, and Ray Spoon with Girl as well. Ray Kondo was going to be playing. Unfortunately, he died last night, which is just so terrible, because all the great tunes that he brought us, especially with that Montreal thing, which I was going to ask you a tiny bit about, but people can still go out and support Ray tonight at the Wise Hall, 9 p.m., 1882 Adenek. That's Sarah Wheeler, the Bughouse Five, and Ray Spoon. So tell me, if you could, Jab, a little bit about the Montreal scene that you were so enraptured by.
Well, I think we should get to the Ray Kondo song, but a little bit about that. The first time I went to Montreal to hear any of those bands was in, I would guess probably about 1986, and it was for the Deja Voodoo Barbecue, and it was Jerry Sons of the Rhythm Orchestra, Ray Kondo and the Hard Rock. I think he was playing with somebody different. I can't be sure. Definitely the Gruesomes, definitely Deja Voodoo, obviously. And I can't even remember where it was the first year that I went, but it was, to me, my, what would you call it, Woodstock or something. And it was a really cold, cold weekend. And
these are the barbecues at Deja Voodoo, the band Deja Voodoo held every year, because they had Aug Records and these huge barbecues too.
That's
right?
Right. But it's not a barbecue like you might have out here in the summertime. It's actually a barbecue in the middle of December. I don't really know why they called it a barbecue. I remember maybe getting a hot dog, but it was just sort of the name that they used to bring together all those bands at that time, sort of mid to late 80s.
And you went to that barbecue, and that barbecue was full of ice, wasn't it? It was an ice barbecue.
I don't remember.
It was an ice barbecue. You said you got caught in an ice storm.
I did. No, it was snow. I had an exam the next day, but we decided to damn the torpedoes. My friend Hugh and I drove to Montreal and saw the barbecue and came back, and I had an algebra, I think, exam that afternoon, and I barely made it because it took us about 6 hours to drive back in the snow.
Now, how would you describe that scene? Because that was really exciting. I mean, the Gruesomes, Ray Kondo, all the bands. Like, It Came From Canada compilations. What was that like? I mean, because it must have been neat to be there. Because I think people kind of forget that, like, Og Records kind of paved the way for independent rock in Canada, didn't they? Like, Deja Voodoo, I think, were the first band to tour across the country. Well, they toured by Greyhound Bus, but I think one of the very first bands to tour across the country independently in the early 80s. Like, to Vancouver and back. I know other bands did, but they kind of on the DIY, mailing out your records, doing it yourself. Like, they kind of paved the way, didn't they?
I think I kind of remember at the time listening to a bit of Fugazi, and to me, not that their musical styles are the same, but it's sort of the same mentality. Talking to the people in all of those bands, it was sort of... They just put the music first, and that sounds so cheesy in a way, but it really was true, and that's all they cared about, and that's very much reflected in the whole Fred Eagle Smith family tree that was on the train, including bands from out here like Nathan, bands from out here like the Derangers, bands from out here...
like Carolyn Mark!
Like Carolyn Mark, absolutely, who I've seen several times at a bar named Hughes Room in Toronto, which is sort of the Mighty Wind folk renaissance, I guess, from the Yorkville sort of hippie days. And even to bands like The Grange, which are friends of mine. I'm staying with them presently. And you have a VHS tape. Unfortunately, they're two sort of newly put together. And you have a VHS tape now of their first concert at the Marine Club, where I was last night hearing that sad, sad news about Ray Kondo.
And we're going to play some Ray Kondo now from the It Came From Canada compilation, Volume 2, filled with many great bands.
And the actual vinyl comes from the House of Bourbon, where all these fine gentlemen live.
But you actually are based in Toronto. You're just here visiting, right, Jab?
You tell me.
Jennifer Ann Bruce. No, Ann, no, right?
Andrea.
Andrea.
You
Jennifer.
Always get that wrong.
I know, but I want to say Ann. Jennifer Andrea. Jennifer Andrea Bruce. So we're going to play some Ray Kondo, and then we're going to follow it up with some Gruesomes and some Deja Voodoo as well. Some other members of the great Og team. And Ray Kondo, you're going to be sorely missed, especially from the people from the Og team in Montreal. Although I don't speak for the Og team in Montreal, I'm going to say that's why I first became aware of you and all the great stuff and all the great tunes you put together. So check out tonight if people are interested. Ray Kondo at the Wise Hall. It is 1882 Adenac, Sarah Wheeler, Bughouse 5. Unfortunately, no Ray Kondo, but Ray Spoon, Poe Girl, and help celebrate Ray Kondo. And It Came From Canada.
She's danger. I will take you to the booger in town. She's danger. I will take you to the booger in town. It's her lips just mine. I feel just fine. You think I'm moving down the line?
said the queen of down the street, and you watch your feet. You go round the bend, and you don't come back again. You go to the park, and you wait till dark. See the black Cadillac, we're just hopping back. You drive around, do you hear this sound? And it sounds like this.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. And who do we have still in the studio today? Who are you, please? Reintroduce yourself, if you could, Jennifer Andrea Bruce.
Well, you did it for me. Why should I reintroduce myself?
You are Jab.
Yes.
Jab from Montreal.
Not from New York.
Not from New York. Yes, there is a Jab from New York. And we just heard a little bit of the Count Five there. And before that, we heard some Deja Voodoo barbecue action.
Yes, absolutely.
Where you actually saw Ray Kondo years ago. And before that, some Gruesomes. And before that, some Ray Kondo. And again, Ray Kondo's gig is going on, despite the fact that Ray Kondo passed away a couple days ago. Tonight at the Wise Hall, 1882 Adenac. It's the Bughouse Five, Sarah Wheeler, and Ray Spoon with Poe Girl at 9 p.m. at the Wise Hall on honor of Ray Kondo, who passed away. And that entire set was dedicated to Ray Kondo. Those were all bands that were around the Montreal scene. Wasn't the scene that he's around now. Wasn't the scene, the 70s scene that he's around in Vancouver. It was the Montreal scene, which you kind of were in amongst, weren't you there?
Absolutely.
Jennifer Ann Bruce, Jennifer Andrea Bruce. And I have to ask you, since we're talking about Montreal and stuff, Melissa Ofdemaur, there's a person with a new album. What can you say about Melissa Ofdemaur?
Well, I met her on the...
And who is she, for people that don't know?
Oh, I don't even know. Well, now her band is named Ofdemaur. That's all I know.
And she began in a band called Tinker and then moved into a band called Hole, right?
And I knew her before she even was in Tinker, just because of luck. I used to hang out there every night when I moved to Montreal, there being the Saint Laurent Strip, the Biftec Saint Laurent, and also the Double Deuce, also the Copacabana, all those bands that were along between, Sherbrooke and, I don't know, to the north of Sherbrooke. There's just a strip that has about six clubs that I spent most of 1990-91 to.
And Melissa Ofdemaur was there. What was she like back then? Because she's got a brand new record out now.
Younger, like me. And doing pretty much the exact same thing. Then her dad gave her a guitar, from what I remember. Her dad gave her a guitar. Her dad's a very... I don't know who he would be in...
Well, he's dead now, actually.
I know he's dead.
Nick Ofdemaur.
Always Mr. Tactful. Yes, Nick Ofdemaur died about 4 years ago. No, 3 years ago. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Her dad was very... kind of like Mordecai Richler, in the sense, to Montreal, in the sense that he was very active politically, but not necessarily a politician. You could find him always downtown in a bar that name escapes me on Bishop Street. But he was just always into everything. And from what I understand, when Melissa would have been about, probably in around 1995, she got her first guitar given to her by her dad. And then the rest is history. She hooked up with the kids from Smashing Pumpkins. And then that's how, through Billy Corgan, I think, she got involved with Hole. Then she took over for the bassist in Hole. Then she was with them for a couple of albums, and now she's just released a new album. I don't even know the name of the album. Tell me, Nardo.
I think it's called Ofdemaur.
Ofdemaur, I
think. Ofdemaur. Didn't you see her play a little while back?
Sure. Where and we- it was pretty straight-up rock
and roll. Be honest, Chav.
Straight-up rock and roll. But that heavy sort of, and it just, this style bores me, frankly. But a lot of styles bore me.
Now, who else came out of Montreal from that scene? Like, we had the Og record scene, we had Melissa Ofdemaur. What else was around at that time?
I'm trying to think. There's about a zillion bands. Why are you throwing me this question out? Can I have a pen?
Yes, go ahead. Okay. There's a pen.
Let's talk about something while I actually get my brain around that one. Who's around for Montreal? There's tons and tons
of
bands.
Did you go to Doughboys gigs and stuff?
Like, not really. I never was really into them. They're good, but they just became huge. No? Well, then I moved out here. So there was Og Records, and I moved out here, then back to Montreal, and I really wasn't seeing that many bands. There was a lot of that kind of girl-fronted L7, not rip-off, but L7 sort of style going on back in the East Coast back then. And Saint Laurent, I mean, there's a zillion bands. But there was a real, when you look at sort of Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, Lollapalooza scene, there were a lot of American bands that I was following. Actually, I'm going to be seeing the Pixies coming up, not here, unfortunately, I wish. I'm going to be seeing the Pixies at a festival named Coachella. One of my best weeks in Montreal was seeing the Pixies, Public Enemy, and Jane's Addiction for the first time each, all at a club named the Rialto, which is still around, I'm happy to say, north on Park, like Park in Outremont, in Montreal. And I didn't know if the theater was going to make it, quite frankly. It's sort of like the Commodore, but a bit smaller. And by the time Public Enemy played, I didn't think it was going to last. But it did.
And then you moved to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
No, I think that was, maybe. I don't know. What's the timeline there? Yes, that's right. Moved here and then went back to Montreal about a year and a half later, but not before having the luck of coming out here and being on the radio.
On CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
You took the words right out of my mouth.
And you're listening to the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show with special guest Jennifer Andrea Bruce, Jab Bruce. And one thing I'm excited about having you on my radio show here today, and thank you for bringing all the records out, too.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate that, Jab. This is your taste. This is your taste on the radio here today. And I must ask you, because you were actually there, and we've heard many legends of this show, the Ween show in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, at the Cruel Elephant, right? The legendary Ween show. Can you give background on that? Because that was one of the wildest shows ever years ago, and you are a big Ween fan still.
Huge Ween fan still. I had never seen them live, and I went into Zulu Records. We hung out all afternoon, because I had just gotten my, well, because I think they're rad, but I had just gotten their puppy. This was 1992. And I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was for the pod.
One second here, sorry for interrupting, but are Ween fans kind of like Fred Eaglesmith
fans?
Oh,
don't say that!
And are Fred
Eaglesmith
fans kind of like Grateful Dead fans? Is it all kind of the same?
No! They are exactly the same.
They really are?
They really are. There's absolutely no difference in my mind. The only difference for me in all of those gangs, I think that all of those musical families, to sound like... I hate even using this terminology, frankly, but I would not give up, even for Ween, who I think are arguably one of the best bands, if not the best band ever. I would not give up my life and tour and only see them. And that's just my personal take on it. I just wouldn't do it. There's absolutely no reason. When I can enjoy going to see them live, and I have often, and Fred Eaglesmith, same. And same with, well, I never saw the Grateful Dead. Actually, I regret that.
What sort of people do you know that do devote their lives to doing that? Like, what sort of people are into the Eagle or into the Ween? Like,
are you listening?
Just curious. Like, what sort of stories did you hear from them? Like, people following the Ween or following the Eaglesmith?
Well, I was on the train with Fredheads, literally. I mean, they call themselves Fredheads.
And again, a bit of background in case people are wondering. This is a train that left from where and went to here, right?
Well,
left from where and went to here?
Toronto, Canada. But it first went from here, not with Fred Eaglesmith and a lot of... other bands, but it left here with Tom Russell and a bunch of bands that I don't have the list in front of me, but that would have been about 2.5 weeks ago. Left from Central Station here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and spent 4 days-ish, a little short of 4 days, going across the country with lots of great music and food and staff and people on a VIA train. And then there's a big party at the Hard Rock Cafe a week ago Monday, and that had Fred... it didn't have the people from the Tom Russell train because they got in late. I don't really know why. But on stage, there was definitely a Cor Blund band who are amazing and excellent. I'd never heard them before. They're awesome. Fred Eaglesmith, of course, and his band, Willie P. Bennett, and... Oh, I really should have this in front of me because my brain's kind of mush. But anyway, Willie P. definitely, and the rest of the band playing with Fred. And who else was there? Lots of bands. And then we got on the train. We stayed at the Royal York that night.
And this is in Toronto.
This is in Toronto.
And this is modeled after a 1960s train trip, isn't it?
I don't know much about that, but yeah, there was a one-off train that only went from Toronto to Vancouver. And that sort of Joni Mitchell, the band,
the Grateful
Young.
Dead.
I don't know.
Janis Joplin.
Sure, but it was a one-off, and it was just friends, and they played music literally from, it could have even been Montreal. Or Easter, I don't know how you say that, from, but definitely from Toronto, here, and they were just a bunch of friends on a laugh, and they crossed the country and played great music. There's actually a documentary coming out about that very shortly, but I know nothing about that. So yes, I was on the Fred train, which left Toronto a week ago Tuesday, and then we got here last Friday.
And all the way you partied with Grateful Dead enthusiasts.
Absolutely, because I am the biggest Deadhead hippie you know, clearly.
Now, back to the Ween story. Back to Ween. This is a pivotal gig in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, isn't it? Jennifer Andrea Bruce here.
Absolutely.
Live in an Art, What a Human Surveyor radio show, ex-CITR DJ.
But we're going to have to find out, maybe while the next musical selection is playing, absolutely who is the opening band, because I thought it was
Hump.
Hump.
That's
Hump
right. Was the opening band.
From Victoria?
Yes, from
yes.
Victoria.
Okay, so Hump was the opening band, and Brandon Lee had just passed away, son of Bruce Lee, from discharge from a starter pistol to the head. And so the Hungry Elephant, is that right?
It might have been, the Cruel Elephant.
Okay, well, whatever that was, right around the corner from the town pump, is no longer there, much like most of that downtown scene. Physically, I mean. And anyways, so this is 1991. I'm pretty sure that the album was The Pod. I'd never seen Ween before, and I saw them all day with my tiny dog, Tabitha, at Zulu Records on West 4th, quite close to where I lived. So we spent the day together, which was fun, and lots of people came.
Because they did an in-store, right?
They did, but they did it all day. Like, I've seen lots of in-stores where it's like phone it in, get our check, go play the gig. Not that they're not enjoying playing the gigs, but they don't particularly enjoy, lots of bands I know don't particularly enjoy doing that in-store stuff. They were all over it. They loved it. And it was lots of fun. And then I went to the show. And as Hump was setting up, there was, I had just heard about the death of Brandon Lee, and there was a starter's pistol on the stage, and it used to be a very, very tiny club. And so I thought it was kind of strange that, the starter's pistol was there right by the lead mic, and just because of Brandon Lee. And anyway, long story continuing, when the opening band Hump from Victoria, Canada, took the stage, it was pretty obvious from what I remember that there was a guy that sort of looked like a roadie to me at first, but he wasn't particularly welcome. And it got pretty aggressive, and these guys were pretty big guys, and I don't remember much else other than that, frankly. But anyway,
weren't they also playing Dogfucker, the movie Dogfucker?
You know better than me. I
wasn't
really
there. No, this turned to legend.
No, but I'm not sure anything about Hump. But what ended up happening was the club at that point was over capacity, which could have been 12 people. I don't know what the capacity is. It's like maybe 150 people were there to see Ween and Hump, I guess. And anyway, so the guys started playing, and I definitely heard at one point one of the guys from the band say, "No, I'm serious. Get the F off the stage," to this kind of roadie looking guy, who I guess didn't take that very well, because he grabbed the starter's pistol, put it to the lead singer's head while he's singing, and said, "Yeah, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna blow your head off," or something to that effect, which was really kind of scary. Anyway, the cops were called for obvious reasons, because this guy was not mentally well, and the band didn't want him there, and so everybody cleared out into the street. And then luckily, there were a few of us, and I'd be interested in talking to somebody else about it, because I only know two people that were there with me that got back in, and then Ween played, but there were not very many of us, because a lot of people were underage also.
If you were, please phone in, 604-822-2487, UBC CITR. So you're out there in the alley behind the Cruel Elephant?
No, it was in a street. It was whatever I think. I don't know. I was definitely kicked outside by the cops, and the show was canceled, which pissed me off. But at least I'd gotten to see them that day.
And they never did play. I thought that Green did play afterwards.
They did play. I was only one of the people that hung out. Everybody else went. Everybody from Hump that was there because of Hump said, "Forget it." They leave. I hang around because I really, 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 really want to at least see them and say, "What a drag," and see when they're going to play next. But there couldn't have been more than 20 of us, I don't think. So please call in.
822-2487, UBC-CITR.
Thank you, Narwar. If you were at that show, because I know myself and my friend Natasha definitely were there, and I don't remember anything about the show, but on weenradio.com, you can get all sorts of archives, but sadly, you can see that is listed, but there is no archive on it.
And you're desperate to get a hold of some people that were there, because it was a defining moment, wasn't it? It was a wild gig.
Absolutely.
Is that one of the wildest gigs you've ever been to?
One of them, isn't it? One of them, definitely in Vancouver.
And the other one in Vancouver was My Bloody Valentine that you were checking out?
Yep. That was, if you think of the words wall of sound or white noise, that was the epitome of what that now means to me.
And what happened there?
They put feedback. I mean, I'm an audio tech type of person, but I don't know what they did to make that go on without being on stage.
So they played their
gig,
and then they started the feedback. That's what
happened,
right?
They played their gig at the Fabulous Commodore, which I'm so glad it is back in business. Not that I got to see you there the other night, which is a little bit sad, but the show was great anyway, The Evaporators and International Noise Conspiracy. I miss Streets. How are they?
Amazing. Skateboarding totally rules. Everything else totally sucks. Back to the Commodore.
Yes, yes, My Bloody Valentine was one of my favorite bands at the time, and me...
This was around 91 as well? Or 92?
No, it would have been 92 or 93, because I left by August 93, and it was sort of midway in there. And so, yeah, they played a great concert, as I knew they would, and me and my friend, my boyfriend at the time, Nick, were standing there, and I don't even remember who else came to the show at that point, but Nick and I were the only two veterans. Thank God I had earplugs, because they left the stage and left this feedback loop, and normally I'm quite sensitive to that kind of thing, but I loved it. I thought it was great. But you wanted them to come back on stage. I think Nick and I both were probably waiting for them to come back on stage, or at least I was. And they never did, and it was half an hour. And I think that, I don't know what happened to my brain that night, but it was pretty spectacular.
And again, you think you were the only two left in the Commodore?
No, not in the Commodore, but actually in front of the footprint of the speakers, certainly. Because everybody else was like, whoa, dudes ain't coming back. And we just stood there like zombies.
And it went on and on and on.
And it did.
And you are Jennifer Andrea Bruce, live here on an Artboard, a Human Serviette radio show, with your stories and your record collection as well that you've brought out from your buddy's house here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. If you've got something to say, Jab, don't write me a note, just say it.
No, I want to play Tad, because that's my other funny story.
Oh, okay. Well, we should go ahead and get some Tad, right?
I think we should. Well, it's right behind you, but I think we should play some music.
Oh, okay. You want to hear, what's the Tad story?
The one with that's at the Cruel Elephant Hungry Eye place with Barfing.
Yeah, what happened with actually, before we get into that, we have some prisoners queued up right
absolutely.
Now. We have the prisoners queued up. And what's your relationship to these guys? The prisoners from Montreal. Again, kind of influences on
English.
The OG scene.
British.
Well, I know, but
Montreal.
Still, I mean, yeah,
oh, okay.
From Montreal.
Well, the,
you were in Montreal liking
fun.
Them.
I was definitely in Montreal liking them, and in Vancouver liking them, and in Toronto liking them now. These albums that were originally Mike Kearney's have now ended up at the House of Bourbon in sort of Little India. And it's wonderful to hold them again, because as far as I know, they're the only copies possibly in the world. I can't get this vinyl. I've been trying for years and years and years. And the Prisoners are, in my mind, the quintessential sort of successors of the Jam, all those sort of bands, The Who, certainly, all that true mod scene, Quadrophenia, Scooters, Mod Club, everything. So I'd love to play The Prisoners on CITR.
And the guy, James Taylor, went on to the James Taylor Quartet.
Absolutely.
So he's still out there doing stuff, acid jazzing, isn't he?
And that's a great, what's it called? Oh, God, I'm drawing a blank. But he has an album out that's a soundtrack for a fake movie. Like, the movie doesn't exist, but there's a soundtrack for as if a movie existed, and it's great. I don't remember what it is, but I'm sure you can get it all sorts of places.
And you wanted to dedicate this to the Mod Club in Toronto.
No,
right?
I did not.
What is the Mod Club in Toronto?
I want to say it now.
Please, I want to hear about this.
You say it.
No, I want to. Okay, Platinum Blonde, please explain about this,
okay,
the Mod Club. Come on, Jennifer Andrea Bruce.
The Mod Club is it's a couple of times a week. One night, I think it's Wednesday nights, it's at Lava on College Street in Little Italy in downtown Toronto. And another night, it's at a club called Revival. Or it's across from Revival. I don't know. They've changed a bunch of times. Anyway, they're both clubs in Little Italy on College Street in downtown Toronto. And they basically play a bunch of this type of music, like raunchy kind of 60s soul, all that, all these bands, all the mod bands, all that kind of thing. But I have recommended, and Mark Holmes runs it, and he was one of the guys in from Platinum Blonde.
And you claim that he has a fake English accent.
Oh, you're killing me! Okay, I'm never telling Nardwuar anything. He does not have a fake English accent, I told you that.
Well, anyway. His English accent has become more pronounced over the years.
I think it has, A. And I think the other thing is that if he claims to have a mod, I think you should call it 60s night, because if he claims, well, no, 60s, 70s, and 80s, like one of those, I don't know what you call it out here, radio stations that plays mostly music, but it's all over the map, because this, the music that largely plays at Mod Club in Toronto, in my opinion, is not mod music, and this is on CITR 102
FM
in British Columbia, Canada.
The Prisoners.
Great.
Remember it's all together. Heaven melted in our eyes. Thinking of you brings tears to Eden. A world diluted when life dies. We are it all, but we lost it, baby.
all over the place, slipping down Jack Daniels as fast as we could. That's when I heard the most horrible sound.
Song should come from your real life, eh?
I take a small consolation that the women in my life have had it rotten since they left me. Just a rotten since they left me.
There was Katie. She was bored. She's still bored. And then a little rocker by the name of Joanne left me for a more exciting man. And he beats her. Well, he needs her. And then there was Alice, who held me no malice. She says, "You're getting too fat, that's not where I'm at." But I heard of late, she's weighing 208. I take a small consolation. But there was also Florence, who always needed the most. I heard when she died, she was a junkie on the coast. I take a small consolation.
Méchant, je ne l'avoue, c'est qu'ils sont nombreux, soudain partout, et beaucoup. boogie. Your lips hot and spicy. Serving up red beans and rice, yeah. At midnight, she's a hollering stomping. Making love to the gators in the swamp, and now you drive me crazy with that boogie, yuggie, 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 yuggie. You drive me crazy with that boogie, boogie. Inside me, never once did you deny me. Doing that stuff that you do, messing me up with your voodoo. You drive me crazy with that boogie, yuggie, 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 yuggie. You drive me crazy with that boogie, boogie, boogie. Voodoo lady, shaking that stick. Driving me crazy, voodoo lady. Oh yeah. Crazy, your eyes are red and hazy. Do
doing the stuff that you do. Knocking me out with your voodoo. You drive me crazy with that boogie, yucky, 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 yucky. You drive me crazy with that boogie, boogie, boogie.
And you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerd Ruddy Human Serviette Radio Show. We have Jennifer Andrea Bruce here on the Nerd Ruddy Human Serviette Radio Show. How are you, Jennifer Andrea Bruce?
I couldn't be better.
Now, you made me play some Ween, a triple shot there of Ween, a triple shot.
I know, as far as I know, that's never been done on CITR. When's the last time that was done on CITR 101.9? FM in Vancouver, British Columbia at Nardwar.
Probably when you were doing your show here years ago.
Never, not once.
I don't even think we had a CD player back then.
Yes, we absolutely did.
We did have a CD player. Yep. I mean, not going too far back, but that was pretty far back.
11, 12 years.
And you were Jennifer Andrea Bruce, and I interrupted that Ween there, but we had to play some Ween because of, well, the crazy story happening from the cruel elephant that you reconnoitered, or whatever the word is, to us a little while back.
You're trying to make me laugh and sound funny.
The Ween story that you told us was absolutely amazing there. So right there, though, you played the three stages of Ween, didn't you? Like,
well,
I interrupted.
No, you played two stages of Ween, because Ween are mostly...
Well, I interrupted as we're about to go to the third stage, right?
Yes, you did. Just like I'm interrupting you now. And the first song was Pumpin' for the Man by a compilation called Paintin' the Town Brown. Brown is their favorite color. I don't particularly know why, but it's kind of distinct, and brown's kind of ugly, so it means that it sticks out. But it's ugly cool. It's ugly chic. Maybe brown is the new black in the Ween world. So Paintin' the Town Brown is a double album recorded mostly in the Netherlands. Mostly in Europe, I guess. And, yes, so...
So we had Pumpin' and then we had the... So that symbolizes what? The joke aspect that you
absolutely
so much hate about
no,
me.
No, I don't
you
hate
got mad at me
way
for like
no,
the Mr. Fancy
no,
Pants
no,
off the new
I
album.
I don't get mad at you. It's just that much like Nardwar the Human Serviette could be summed up as...
You can't talk about me in my own show. Talk about Ween.
Because I think it's very similar. A lot of people, now that you're on Fabulous Much Music, the nation's music station... we'll summarize you as Nardwar, that dude with the doot-doot-doot-doo and the tam, where there's a whole bunch more that if people actually dug a little deeper...
But what's wrong with me liking Ween Mr. Fancy Pants?
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it, just like I like Pumpin' for the Man. What I think is unfortunate is that they've been around forever and ever and ever, and people know them because of some, Michelob Light compilation with Push Little Daisies on it.
So you wanted to represent the three stages of Ween.
Absolutely.
And I tried to derail that, eh?
No, you didn't know.
Well, we interrupted because we're going to be doing She's Your Lady, right?
No, She's Your Baby.
She's Your Baby, okay.
Which I think is actually their best album in the sense that... Well, no, it's not my favorite album of theirs, but it's the best album in regards to every single song is so different. There are some jokey ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head. It was
because you don't
last...
like the jokey ones.
I do like the jokey one on that one. I just can't remember. I love Falling Out on that album because it basically anybody that you want to tell to go stick it, whether it's an ex-girlfriend or your mom or your best friend who stole money or your girlfriend or whatever, their lyrics symbolize a lot to me and a lot to a lot of people. They're just only known for Push Little Daisies, and I think that's unfortunate. So first was Pumpin' for the Man, because that's just a funny song. Second was, Voodoo Lady live on Paintin' the Town Brown. Which symbolizes their most rock and roll song to me. And I've heard them play it many, many, many times. And on weenradio.com, if you go to it, it's a great internet radio station. It's all Ween and the Moist Boys and all their side projects and all sorts of stuff. And it's every live arc. It archives every live bit of celluloid they have, and I guess digital, like CDs, and that anybody's ever taken, and it's all there for your listening enjoyment. And then you can recommend, just like you can here on CITR, you can recommend or you can request songs, and then it immediately goes up into cyberspace somewhere and out pops the song, and it's very exciting. So everybody should go and check that out, and you can also have lots of links to buy cool Ween stuff.
So we had the joke element with Pumpin',
and
the
rockin'
element with Voodoo Lady, and then we haven't heard
now,
yet, but we're going to hear She's Your Baby, which is the... ballad aspect, right?
That's right, because they are the most underrated balladeers in pop rock music today.
And we ended with some Ween, but before that we had a bit of EJ, well actually we had some Platon et les Caves, which is some of the Gruesomes guys and Fipped Out Phil from Montreal, Quebec.
In French, absolutely.
And before that some EJ Brulé, which used a scat spoken word performer. Did you ever see him?
I did indeed.
What would you describe him as?
I don't know.
A scat spoken word performer?
Play Ween.
Why Play Ween?
Because I love this song.
Before that, we had Tad, and then before that, we had
Tad.
We had the Prisoners.
The quick story about Tad.
Oh, so you don't want to talk about E.J. Brule, but you'll talk about Tad.
No, I'll talk all about E.J. Brule on another show. Because I just don't know that much. But Tad, actually, the same place as the legendary Ween show, the Hungry Eye Cruel Elephant place, now defunct. A friend of the people that I was hanging around with brought this guy, Fred, to that show. It was the first time, I'm pretty sure it was the first time that I'd met him. And he insisted on asking Tad why his name was Tad. Now, Tad, I don't know why, but he apparently has some sort of thyroid condition. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's off Sub Pop. And that was his song, Jack Pepsi, that we played. It's my favorite song of his. So we were there to see his gig, and we were close to the stage like we were with the whole...
It's pretty good that you're so musically open-minded, Jab. I mean, you go from the Prisoners, Maud, to Tad, Jack Pepsi.
I've been very lucky in my life.
Pretty good. You're open to a lot of things.
I am open to anything but shitty music.
Oh, okay. Back to Tad.
Sorry. So Tad... basically ended up throwing up on Fred, which was really kind of scary. But basically,
no, during the gig or as soon as he asked?
No, he's setting up the gig, much like the thing with the Ween opening band. And my this friend of a friend, Fred, kept on saying, "Why is your name Tad? Why is your name Tad? Why is your name Tad?" Like, who cares? And he's setting up and obviously has more important things on his mind. And finally, he asked maybe half a dozen times and then asked one more time. And Tad, this ginormous, big, scary dude, turned around and barfed on him. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in a rock show. So that was Jack Pepsi from Tad.
Before Tad even played?
Yeah, he's just setting up his mic.
How much barf came out? Was there a lot of barf?
Not tons, but enough so that he had to run. I have no idea where Fred is, but if you're calling, or if you're listening, please call in.
You never saw him again after
that?
I did.
I saw him at the House of Pain and... House of Pain and somebody at a bigger venue here.
But Tad
House
put on
Pain,
a good
oh,
show.
House of Pain and Rage Against the Machine.
Was that at the Town Pump? Was that at the Town Pump?
What's that?
The Tad Show.
No, it was at the Hungry Eye Elephant.
Oh, it was?
A Hungry Elephant.
And did he put on a good show after he puked?
Oh, God. Awesome. So maybe the purging made it so maybe actually Fred did him a favor.
And after Ween ballad action, we're going to have some Jerry as well. You like the Jerry, don't you?
And the
you?
Sons of the Rhythm Orchestra. Absolutely.
What can you say about them?
They rock. Let's play Ween.
Any other background on it?
No.
Wow, you are really... you've hijacked me today.
Now,
come on, CITR. Now you're just saying, play Ween. Oh, this is really some secret agenda. It's not like they need to get played anymore.
One more Ween. They do need to get played more.
Come on, they have their own Ween radio.
One more.
Play Ween. Grateful Dead. Oh, my God. Can't you at least tell me, Jennifer, Andrea Bruce, a bit about Jerry? Because it'll be right after
Ween. They are great. I do not know what they're doing now, but they were right... They were probably the most visibly present band. They had great style, sort of in that now quite popular alt country twang rock and roll style. Lots of great boots and shirts and stuff like that. Jerry's about 6'6". He's very tall and thin. I have no idea where he is. Last I saw him, he was in Montreal. And he plays great music, which you will hear after Ween, She's Your Baby on CITR 101.9. Can we play it now?
Which represents the ballad aspect
the
of
ballad
Ween.
Aspect of Ween.
From the joke to the rock to the ballad. And
absolutely.
Into the Jerry.
Jerry and the Sons of the Rhythm Orchestra.
On
CITR.
FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Ween.
Take it away.
Jamie came back from the stand. Of a Kafka in hand and a bunny in a can, slipping and sliding, you feel yourself asking, why would you want me to try? Squeezing your wrist and she's pulling you closer down where the devils are dying with laughter and led to a place where there's no form of pleasure. She blows you a kiss from the lips. She's your baby. She's your baby. She's your baby. Those belongs cannot be renounced, cause they're tall.
also wish they'd shut up the mouse, lock their doors and stay in the house. And while you're inside there, you might want to question the fact that you're not quite the same. And look to the room where she's keeping so quiet a million layers of crust and deposit. Blanket the seasons and bury the reasons you told her that this was for good. She's your baby. She's your baby. She's your baby. Thank you.
listening to Jennifer Andrea Bruce's record collection on CITR FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. Thank you, Jennifer Andrea Bruce, for coming into the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show. And what did we just hear there? Something from Ottawa, new, right?
Brand new. Scott gave me this from the House
and
of Bourbon.
And who is Scott again?
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry.
The House of Bourbon are the ones that gladly supplied the records
all
today.
The
gladly
that supplied that them. That I brought today. They are records, most of which I have actually been in physical contact with, but they have all ended up, as a lot of vinyl collections do, in one place or in the garbage or at some.
And you said
somehow.
You were heading out to CITR, and you looked at this record collection, and he had the Sonics, he had Count Five, and you said, what's hot, what's happening, and it was the 50 Men,
yes,
the CD that we just
from
heard.
From the East Coast.
This is new stuff, though.
New stuff from Ottawa, brand new, I know nothing about it. I'm from Ottawa, but I know nothing. Their album is called After Darkfall, that was track number one, called Jimmy Turner, and Scott from The Grange and The House of Bourbon suggested that I play it today. And also Calexico, but we've sort of run out of time.
And thank you, House of Grange, for the VHS. I do appreciate the VHS that you passed on. Okay. Jennifer Andrea Bruce. And before that, we had some Jerry, which you really didn't want to elaborate on. It's like ween. But some great Jerry off the It Came From Canada series.
He has the best boots. I can't even remember much about them, but he has had the best boots of any Canadian alt-country god that I have ever known. But it is, I just want to correct, because the guys are probably laughing if they're listening. It's the House of Bourbon where they live, and the band that gave you the VHS tape, which you thank them for, is named The Grange.
But the band we just played was the 50 Men from Ottawa, Ontario.
Canada.
And you do like traveling quite a bit, Jab. You've been to Vancouver, you've been to Toronto, and you recently checked out the South by Southwest Music Conference, and you bonded with some dude from Scotland over your love of Maud.
Vic Galloway.
Because we're going to end the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show with Nelson Mandela, but, you know, you've bonded with Vic over to Maud. And,
absolutely.
You know, it started out with the Gruesomes, too, didn't it?
What?
Well, the Gruesomes, those Maud parties you went to from Montreal.
I thought South by Southwest started with the Gruesomes. I was like, well, I didn't see them there. Yes, South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. I went because I'm sort of underemployed right now. It's
actually,
lots
let's
of
just
fun.
Recap again. It all started with the Gruesomes for you. You got into the Gruesomes.
I'm
really,
14.
Why did you like the Gruesomes? Yeah, why did you
because
like the Gruesomes?
Rock. They were the first band that I didn't hear given to me by somebody, and me and my friend Anna from Ottawa, still from Ottawa, which is kind of rare, I just love them. And we saw them every chance we got, and we went to Montreal often to see them, and now I have seen them in Toronto on their reunion tour with the new bassist? No, I don't know. Where are you? Help.
There was nobody new. It was all original members.
No. Not, look.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it's all original members.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Hold on one sec. Take it over,
Nardwuar. And you're listening to CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar Human Serviette Radio Show as Jennifer Andrea Bruce refuses to come to the mic. She's running away because she knows that she's wrong because it's all...
He wasn't at the concert.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Okay,
unless he didn't show up. But
that's right.
Then he must have been a three-piece.
I don't know.
No, he was there.
Jeff was there, their promoter.
But, yes, no, Jerry was there. He played all that stuff. I know he was.
2 years ago, at the Horseshoe.
I'm guaranteeing
that
he was there.
Well, since you weren't there and I was, why don't we just take my word for it?
And
okay, moving on.
Anyways, it does show how much I view the Gruesomes and how much you grew to Viewsomes.
Oh, absolutely. I've seen them at least 20 times.
The Viewsomes. We do love viewing the Gruesomes.
Lovely.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's just, they're so important. And through the Gruesomes, indirectly, I don't know why, I guess through going lots of cool mod gigs and being into the prisoners and stuff, you linked up with this guy, Vic, at South by Southwest, Jennifer Andrea Bruce.
He is part of Vic and Gil. He's on BBC Scotland Radio 1, and he sort of runs there. He's a year younger than me. He's about 31. And
this is at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas.
In Austin,
the
Texas,
music festival.
At the Scottish booth of the trade show, which is massively massive, if you ever should be so lucky as I was to go, please bring along 20 of your friends, because you will not be able to see and do everything. Anyway, I walked up to this guy knowing not who he was, and I said, wow, I have that exact Fred Perry shirt, exactly, hanging in my closet at home in Toronto. And then we ended up spending all day together, culminating with the Evaporators show at the, I don't remember what it was called.
I think it was called the Caucus Patio.
Caucus.
But in between, you also ran into, like, Lance Armstrong
and
Woody.
No, Bob Woody, who I met, who owns Sixth Street, he runs the Ritz. He runs the Pecan Cafe and Grill. He runs the Blind Pig, I think it's called, across the street. Anyway, I just trying to go to see Nardwar at the Smuggler's gig a couple of days before on the Thursday. I just happened to meet the guy who runs all of the bars and show bars and restaurants on 6th Street, which is, if you've been to New Orleans and not Austin, like myself, 2 months ago, I call it Bourbon Street because it's about the size of New Orleans and there's a trillion people that come and descend and they're all trying to see everything and do everything and everybody's running around. But anyway, so I met Bob Woody and that was great. I had free pecan pie and got pecan pie.
And where does cycler Lance Armstrong fit into all this?
Oh, he apparently has a lot to do with Austin City Limits, which is a show on PBS from Austin. And it has had everybody, I've seen literally everybody from the Dixie Chicks after they're sort of falling from grace when they, what did they do? They dissed Bush, I think, and got in big trouble for that. And but I've seen Neil Young and Crazy Horse on there. I've seen, God, I don't know, what's the first band that comes to your mind? It's been around for at least 20 years out of Austin. And on the day after the softball tournament for South by Southwest, I pretty much spent all day making my way up there because it's on 30th Street and Guadalupe, and which is quite far, and it's attached. It's as though it was right here in a television studio on UBC campus, and I don't know. Check it out. It's folky, though. It's quite folky. So if you're into the music Nardwar and I have been playing today, maybe not so much, but it's been around for a long time, and they actually 2 years ago started a music festival. So that's about... Oh, and Lance Armstrong has a lot to do with that, the cyclist.
That's wild. I never knew he had such cool, interesting music.
Me too.
And David Cross was there at South by Southwest,
well,
too.
I don't know for sure. Do you know for sure?
I'm not sure. I think he performed.
Well, he performed all over the place, sort of, but I couldn't get in to see him.
You were chasing him all around.
Well, I was sort of chasing him, but then Vic was supposed to see him but didn't, but got to interview him in the Vic Galloway of BBC Scotland. Got to... interview him.
And you always bump into people, don't you, Jab?
I like, do.
The way did you bonded over to Fred Perry, but you always bump into Fred. You always
not I always bump into Fred Perry.
Yeah, into
no,
Fred Perry,
I've
but
never
also Roger
Fred
Ebert
Perry.
Too. What's the Roger
oh, yes.
Ebert thing?
Every year that I've lived in Toronto since 1997, I've seen Roger Ebert at the Toronto Film Fest one way or another. It's bizarre.
And right now the hot band there is Controller,
Controller,
right?
Controller. That was recommended to me by my good friend Kelly, and. They're pretty big right now, and I just saw them live, where was that? That was at the Stones place, which is a really weird bar that's totally dedicated to the Stones. It's sort of like the Hard Rock, but smaller, and only Stones memorabilia with this guy, I can't remember his name, let's call him Mr. Stones Place. And it's only open once in a blue moon, but I guess it's about a month ago, my friend Kate was leaving to teach in Korea, and Controller were playing, and she decided to have her sort of farewell piss-up at the Stones place, which was kind of strange. I don't remember her name from Much Music was DJing. I don't remember. You knew her name.
Hannah Sung, perhaps?
Yes, Hannah was DJing, and Controller played, and it was at the Stones place. And that was, also the Deadly Snakes and another band I don't remember are sort of bands from Toronto that were recommended to me, but I know nothing because I was in Austin.
So what's up with you next? What's happening with you next, Jennifer Andrea Bruce?
I don't know.
Are you in Vancouver,
are we having
Columbia, Canada for longer?
I think so. I think I'll be here for another 2 weeks, and then I'm going down to Coachella.
And then after that, are you heading back to Toronto?
No, I think I'm going to France.
And then after going to France, you're coming back to CITR to do a show?
Maybe.
And France isn't far away from England, home of Mr. Fred Perry, right?
Absolutely.
And right now you have a little track here dedicated to Mr. Fred Perry, right? That where it all
okay.
came together.
Sure.
What's the background on this particular one?
Free Nelson Mandela?
Yeah.
Is
was
that
the,
what you're talking
about? Yeah. When did you first hear this?
When did I first hear this? It was probably, late 80s. And it was really kind of the anthem for a lot of things politically, obviously, with Nelson Mandela. But it's kind of a great, great song to play anytime. It's kind of a summer song to me. I don't know. I think I first heard it at Shake Records, which is now defunct. The best
in
record
Ottawa.
Store in Ottawa, absolutely. It used to be on Laurier and Bank, or Laurier and Elgin. And now it's sort of called the Black Tomato, and it's a restaurant down in the market. And you can go there, eat great food, and listen to
I think
to
there's
vinyl.
Like Birdman Sound now in Ottawa. Isn't there a record
store?
Oh,
no, that's a long time ago. It's been around for a long time, but this is totally separate. The guys from Shake Record, Ed and Ian, I think, and their dog, opened up, closed Shake Records, which is a shame, and they opened the Black Tomato, which is used to be the Vienna Cafe where I worked in downtown Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, but now it is a really nice place you can go, have a great beer, and listen to music, and then buy that music, which is pretty cool.
Well, thanks so much, Jennifer Andrea Bruce.
Oh, and This album may have been purchased by Mike Kearney at the original Shake Records, and it's Free Nelson Mandela, the extended mix, the special AKA.
And thank you to Mike from the House of Bourbon.
He used to be, but now I believe he's in Ottawa. I'm not positive on that, or Peterborough somewhere.
Thank you for letting us pillage your records, and thank you, Jennifer Andrea Bruce. Keep on rocking. Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all?
I don't think so.
All right,
hey, everybody.
Thanks so much. Keep on rocking in the free world, and doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Doo-doo.